Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from An Eternal Career by Frank and Lydia Hammer, published in 1947. A Hindu child once said to his playmate, "If you can tell me where God is, I will give you a mango." The playmate replied, "If you can tell me where God is not, I will give you two mangoes." Yes, where is God not? While most religions teach that God is omnipresent, the majority of people have difficulty in grasping this truth. They are under the illusion that God must be sought in particular places and in definite localities, such as in churches and in heaven. Many make the mistake of attempting to fit their ideas of the deity into their limited intelligence, and liken God unto themselves. They ascribe to him hands, feet, a face, senses, and emotions. The majority are also unable to realize God's ever-present nearness, but believe he is remote and separated from the universe, inaccessible and only to be approached through intermediaries. Yet the prophet Jesus told us that God is spirit, and spirit fills all infinitude, is wholly and completely present everywhere, and cannot be divided into segments. Nor is spirit relegated to some parts of the universe and excluded from others. God is pure intelligence or spirit, the primordial essence of all things, the eternal basis of all forms. God is everything there is, seen and unseen, manifest and unmanifested. For nothing is lifeless, but endowed with varying degrees of intelligence, spirit, or God. What is God's relation to the universe? Deity and nature are counterparts. The phenomenal world is the body of God, just as the physical form is the body of humanity. Just as our spirit animates all parts of the physical body, so does infinite spirit animate all God's creations. However, the objective universe is God, no more than our physical body is us. God is in everything, yet all these things are not God. God is in me, but I am not God. Is God with form or is he formless? God is both with form and without form. God is one but becomes many, and is constantly projecting himself into all manner of forms. Forms are superimposed upon spirit and change continually, while God or spirit remains forever the same. God creates by thought, and the universe is filled with creations which form his parts. All things are in reality the same substance with different rates of vibration. Seen subjectively, there is unity. Beheld objectively, there is multiplicity. Is it possible to see God? And what is meant by seeing him? Is he perceived or conceived? Never can God be seen with the physical eyes, but only with the eyes of the soul. Never can the architect of the universe be seen sitting on some planet, sun, cloud, throne, or mountain. The only necessary qualification to behold God is to be pure in heart. The person whose spiritual eyes are open sees God in all existing things. Those who have difficulty seeing God should begin by looking for Him in the human individual at their best. It is there we receive the clearest revelation. Every man and woman is God made flesh. He dwells equally in all of us, the humblest as well as the greatest, saint or sinner. God dwells on earth as well as in heaven. He mingles with us on the battlefield, the home and on the street, in the marketplace and in the mosque. We are never out of the sight of God. How can we know God? God and truth are inseparable, and our knowledge of the one increases our knowledge of the other. Knowing God is the most important truth to be known, and a true understanding of Him is found within oneself. Since we are never separated from the Creator, God can be contacted instantly and without intermediaries. If you want happiness in your life, if you want to know who you are, why you were born, and what is the purpose of your life, then devote yourself to knowing God. However, in order to know God, we must study more than His forms. We can do that forever and learn little. We must devote ourselves to observing His ways, His modes of manifestation, methods of operation, and study His attributes, which are wisdom, beauty, order, power, and love. Knowing God, or oneness with the divine, is the supreme goal of spiritual seekers. It is the highest spiritual experience, to be attained only by deep contemplation. Oneness with the divine implies not only consciousness of God, but identification with Him. For example, take the term body conscious. This means that we are identified with the body and cannot separate ourselves from it or its conditions. The same state is true when we are God conscious. We feel a oneness with Him and cannot separate our consciousness from His. It is a blending of consciousness, much as the fragrance of flowers intermingle with the summer breeze. Oneness with the divine is the intuitive recognition of being one with the source of all life and all created things. It is a kinship with the leaves, grass, flowers, birds, animals, and all forms of life. It is a love and sympathy for all which breathes and lives, an affinity with all nature, animate and inanimate. God-conscious people are known by their great compassion for their fellow citizens and labor unceasingly for their improvement and enlightenment. They know that when one person falls, all fall, that when one person rises, all rise, for all share the one life, and each is bound, every living being and thing, by unbreakable bonds. Only those who are yet unaware of their relationship to God and His creations ever injure or exploit their brothers and sisters. Those who enslave and degrade others wind up by becoming enslaved and degraded themselves. This is true of both nations and individuals who hold people in bondage. Many people are unable to see God in humanity, particularly in the unfortunate members of society, such as the criminal and the depraved. Nevertheless, despite the repellent exterior, God dwells in them too. Otherwise, they could not exist. Since God dwells in all, there is good in all. The so-called good people who attempt to exterminate the so-called bad people end up becoming like the bad. They should instead look for the good, or the God, which is in them and appeal to it. The Spirit will respond. Jesus healed and reformed his neighbors because he saw them as perfect expressions of the Father. He appealed to the divine or good within and always got a response. For life is a mirror in which we behold our own reflection everywhere, and Jesus was too divine to see aught but the good. Who, for instance, had first claim upon Jesus? It was the lepers and the sinners, who were considered outside the pale by the respectable people of the community. We do not see God because we are short-sighted, inexperienced, and lack soul vision. We see only the outside of the person, which is often disfigured with faults and imperfections, and which covers the real individual. In order to behold the real person, or the God within, we must pierce the exterior and see them as they actually are, as God made them, innately divine and beautiful. No amount of sin and error can ever defile this inner person. While it is often impossible to love the outer aspect of people, it is easy to love God or the God within. A spiritually minded person constantly strives to do this, and always thinks of people as spirits, not as bodies or intellects. Unfortunately for humankind, rulers are completely unaware that God and humanity are one. They are equally ignorant of our true nature, for they believe we are matter and exploit us only to attain their selfish aims. They use life primarily to promote their vanity and ambition. They protect status and wealth, but desecrate and destroy the temples of God, the bodies of women and men. Judas was innocuous compared to the recent crop of traitors who have sold their country and millions of souls to foreign greed and power. Leaders are needed who have reverence for human life, who realize that life has dignity, that every person is an expression of God, and that one soul is of far greater worth than a vault of gold. For as it's been said, "What shall it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul?" The first consideration of any government should be to safeguard human life and dignity and freedom, not to win territory. When millions are slaughtered for the multiplication of wealth and the acquisition of real estate, rulers are guilty of treason against God and humanity. Those who profess to love God but hate people are liars and traitors. The masses need to be dehypnotized to regain their usurped rights, for no person rules by divine right, but only by the consent of the governed. Never has human life been held so cheaply as today. Never has the slaughter of millions occasioned so little comment. When mossy monasteries, ancient cities, and antiquated cathedrals are destroyed, there is loud lamentation. When works of art are in danger, they are buried deeply underground. Yet such loss is not irreparable. Ravaged cities can be rebuilt, demolished structures replaced, damaged churches repaired, and other works of art created. but the temples of God no person can raise again. However, we do not trust God. We in our folly trust too much in material wealth, and little do we know how unstable it is. What is ours today is another's tomorrow. Those individuals who know God depend upon Him as their source of life, love, health, knowledge, supply, and power. They know nothing can ever separate them from the infinite. Those who know God never put a limit to His infinitude. To them, God is not a matter of opinion. He is. God is boundless love, beyond the grasp of the intellect. He alone knows and understands His mysteries. When we realize God, the gates to infinite knowledge open. When we attain enlightenment, we know for certain that we are in God, and that God is in us. The mysteries of this world and the next become open books to us. Do not seek God. See Him. Where? Everywhere.